welcome to the Comic Book Rundown.
Welcome back to the Comic Book Rundown. I'm your host, Joe, and with me today is my co-host, Ron.
Hello.
And from the World's Finest True Believers podcast, we have Chris.
Ahoy, ahoy.
We are on the second issue of the Man of Steel miniseries, and if you'd like to check out our coverage of the first issue, go check out our last episode. So let's hop right into this issue here. And we've got Lois Lane and Perry White sitting at, looks like just a diner, and Superman flies by in his super fashionable suit.
Which he's, I'd like to say that he's flying a bit different than he normally flies, just to show off the whole suit, I think.
I think, coming out party means something different nowadays, but this was him coming out to Metropolis. Lois goes running after Superman.
Because that's a good way to try to catch him.
Well, she's got to do something.
She could probably just be like, Superman! And he'd be like, huh? Hey, so, how you doing?
I'm Superman.
You're Lois Lane.
I can literally blow out your back. Oh.
Come on!
Hey, what's going to happen, man? The dude's obviously...
Okay, look, we're not having a Mallrats discussion, okay?
it's quickly deteriorated into Mallrats, yes.
See, I don't see that as a deterioration. That's actually a really interesting topic that needs to be discussed.
Well, and it gets discussed in Convergence. You worry about you. I'll give you those books. You can read those. Maybe. I don't know. We'll see. Anyway, so Lois is going off. Lex Luthor is there. He's being chauffeured, and the chauffeur is trying to get Lois's attention, and she's just like, well, I'm busy, bye.
But those eyes are so haunting of Lex.
It's very, very ominous. Like, he's a very sinister person.
He looks like an asshole.
Yeah, he is.
But a well-meaning one.
Well, right. By well-meaning, you mean, yeah.
For himself?
Well, you get what you get. So, we get Superman basically stopping his first misdemeanor, petty theft. I don't know. And both the lady and the mugger are very, like, shocked by his presence. They have no idea what to take from him. So
he shoves the dude in a trash can, hangs him up on a pole, and then turns down her radio. I like how he uses his pinky, too. Like, yes. What the fuck?
Like, why not? I mean...
Take my strong finger. Oh. But no, like, well, why? I don't understand why it's his pinky, though. Who does that? Who's just going to reach over and be like, nope.
Well, maybe he... Because the pinky is the weakest part of the hand, he didn't want to destroy her boombox. I don't know.
Maybe originally it was going to be his right hand that was turning it down, and then they added a thumb to it, and he's like, well, fuck, I guess it's a left hand now.
Who knows? We'll go with that. Sure. But he does hear on the radio of a hold up at the liquor store, which, who holds up a liquor store of all places?
With this firepower, too.
Yeah. Yes. Right? How much money is the liquor store going to have?
Look, it's not about the money. It's about the booze. Haven't you ever heard that Sublime song?
Well, when you phrase it like that, I guess that would work. But my goodness. Again, I thought this was a bank at first. Nope, liquor store.
Yeah, and especially when after Superman goes in there and stops them all, he knocks out the one lady who has dynamite strapped to her belt. Like, what were you going to do blowing up a liquor store?
If you think about it, though. That'd be a hell of a structure fire. All that booze, it's like 9/11 all over again.
Oh. Okay.
I don't even know where to go with that.
Yeah, yeah. Continue on, I guess.
I like it that she goes like, "You wouldn't hit a lady, no, but I'll flick you."
Well, yeah, it's like I'd never hit a lady, but also, then I've never met a lady who carries dynamite under her coat.
Also, I found it interesting that nowhere in this does he ever actually like shoot the heat rays out of his eyes. It just his eyes turn red and then things heat up.
You know, good like, point.
Yeah, I don't know. That's all that ever happens with it is just kind of, yeah. Like his eyes turn red and then it's just like, oh shit, things are getting hot.
Well, because later on when he's facing off against Bizarro, pretty sure they had actual heat vision out. Well, I mean, we'll get that in like three.
No, but it's too late. We have to go back and look now.
Three issues forward.
Okay, I'm just going to say,
All right, we don't have time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that. So we get Lois. She was able to get a helicopter on Lex's dime. I'm not entirely sure. But she basically used her connections to get what she needs for this time. And she ultimately is, you know, chasing Superman and is there literally like a second behind. Every time she gets there, he's already gone.
And I'm assuming this takes place over like a few weeks because she's always in different outfits.
At least a couple days.
I hope so, because like otherwise she's got a lot of fucking jackets.
I mean, it's winter.
How many winter jackets do you have, Gennaro?
One.
I think you've proven his point.
Hold on. How many does Emily have?
Three that she uses on a rotating basis, maybe.
Okay. There's three. There's
like five, six.
Four. Yeah. She's got like six right there, and you know, a matter of three, four, five pages.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not winter. I know that, but.
Anyways. So, little Jimmy here. Like, what is he, 12?
No, he's
a dwarf.
He's just drawn that way.
Yeah. I know early Jimmy Olsen was always, he was the intern photographer. He always had the like three piece, well, the two piece and then like the vest and the bow tie. That's just how Jimmy was pre-crisis. Obviously this is a homage
also
to it.
4.5 foot tall.
Well, I mean,
but get him in that turtle costume. He dries up to an extra foot.
Oh, that turtle costume. You're in for a treat with that one, Ron.
A turtle costume.
We'll get there in the future. Trust me. So we've got Jimmy coming to Lois. Lois is disgruntled because every other, newspaper in Metropolis
has done a better job of being a reporter than she has. Yes.
Well, they have better stories, I guess, but she wants the one-on-one story. She wants the story that will basically get her a Pulitzer. So she devises a plan, to basically get Superman's attention.
Yeah, by getting her attention by running her car into the waterfront, right into the water,
mm-hmm.
Because you know there's no way of that actually backfiring. No, you know.
Although I like how there are ramps leading directly off the pier.
Yeah,
yeah, that's actually a good point. Yeah, you know,
that's for the loading and unloading of cars at the ferry.
I mean, if that's true, it makes sense. But
that's the white zone. The red zone is for that.
that's right. My bad.
Get it right.
Nice. Is this a Lex import on the top of the building there? Maybe they're offloading cars and those ramps are actually legit.
Maybe. I mean, it's possible.
But anyway,
I figured they would take those ramps down once the boat is gone.
You thought wrong.
Apparently.
But yeah, like she just just get, thankfully, Superman happened to be in the area and rescues her, and he's getting ready to take off. It's like, you come back here. I need to talk to you. You're going to give me everything about you.
And I like that he does. He's like, yes, you won my attention. She's like,
So I also like how she ends up in just a bathrobe.
I mean, she just got out of the shower or bath or whatever she did. But she also gets a little snack and white wine and brie. Superman's like, yeah, no, I'm good. I don't drink on the job. And, you know, I'm not big. Never acquired the taste for brie. But then she tries to interview him. And he's like, I'm pretty sure everything I give you is going to be worthless. And so he literally doesn't give her much of anything. You know, he's got another place he's got to be, another thing he's got to go rescue. And then he says, oh, out of curiosity, do you always drive around with an aqualung under the front seat of your car? And then he flies off. And she's like, oh, he knew all the time. Huh. Okay. Which I find fun. I mean, obviously he knew, but.
Oh, yeah.
So Superman goes to. This is going to be the typical Superman changing to Clark Kent. He flies to the top of the Daily Planet where he's got an outfit waiting, and he changes back into Clark and walks in for an interview with Perry White. And as that is happening, we've got Lois coming down. A couple hours later, she's basically saying, stop presses. I've got the front page story of Superman. You know, Perry, we're gonna get this made. We're gonna have a wonderful story. And Perry's like, yeah, we already
have that story.
Yeah, we already have it. And she's like, what do you mean? And he's like, yeah, meet our newest member, Clark Kent. He's the one that gave us the story. Which, that's really great first story. How do you top that?
And I always like this interpretation of it where Clark beats her to the story.
Yeah.
Because that sets up the relationship moving forward. Between them two. And it just, I don't know. I'm not saying a woman can't get a story. That's what I'm trying to say, but I'm basically just saying, I just like this interpretation of how Clark gets the job.
Yeah.
Just because knowing what we know about him, not going to journalism school, not going anywhere. Well, of course they're going to hire this guy.
Being a high school dropout.
Yeah,
maybe, you know, we'll see.
And if I remember correctly, I think the New Adventures of Lois and Clark with Dean Cain and Terry Hatcher, I think this was similar. Now, I haven't seen that show in forever, but I thought it was he had gotten the Superman story before her and published it, and that's how he got the job. I could be wrong. Again, I don't remember. That's from like the early 90s.
Yes, so I don't think I've seen that show since like 1994.
It's a long... long time. I know it's on the DC Universe app, but I honestly have no desire to go rewatch it.
Yeah, no. That's one I'm not going to revisit.
Yeah, I feel like I think I saw like the first three seasons, and then like the last season got weird, and then I think I stopped somewhere through there.
That's because they got married.
1993.
That first season?
That's when it came out. Okay. And there are four seasons of it.
Yeah. I don't know. But that is how we end this episode, or this issue. Thank you for listening to the Comic Book Rundown. If you'd like to hear more of Chris, please check out the World's Finest True Believers podcast on all major podcasting apps. You can also find him on Twitter at Finest Believers. And as always, you can find us on Twitter at Comic Rundown, on Instagram at Comic Book Rundown, or you can send your emails to comicbookrundown@gmail.com. We'll be back very soon with more to this Man of Steel story.